Hey, folks, unless you were born under a rock or you just haven't been paying attention, this coming Sunday is a very, very special day. It's a day that we call Mother's Day, and it's that time when we honor those mothers who have had a chance to pull every ounce of their hair out because they had to raise us. Or you're married to one of those who's had the children, or you're a dad yourself. But at any rate, it's a time when we look to celebrate Mother's Day, the time when we take the moment to say thank you to Mom. And I hope that it's not just once a year that you do that. But this coming Sunday is a special day set aside for Mother's Day. And today we actually want to take a look at some scriptures that are going to come out of the book of Hebrews. There's a fellow that's mentioned. Most of you, if you've had any time around the Bible whatsoever, you've heard of Moses. But there's something very special about Moses as well, and that was Moses' mother. So we're going to look at her as recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So grab your Bible. Come on back in just a second. We're going to take a look at what the mother of Moses did for him. I'll see you in just a second. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you so much for taking this time to be with us as we gather around the scriptures and take a look at the Lord's Word. A moment ago, I mentioned that we were going to be looking at the mother of Moses and essentially what she did for him as recorded in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. So I want to go ahead and jump on into that text with you, and then we're going to take a peek at some of the great things that are great qualities of a mother. But Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, reads like this. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, again, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be with each and every one of us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. We know that where we're gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And Father, we just pray that your word would truly spring forth life and hope in each and every heart. Today, Lord, I pray that as we take a look at a very special relationship between a mother and a son and what you can do in the midst of that, that we would be able to model those things that we glean from your word today in our lives and in our relationships. So right now, Lord, I pray that you would be with me as your speaker for these moments, that as we truly lift you up, you would draw all men unto you. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, when we look at these particular passages, and particularly as we head into this this Mother's Day week, there are many mothers that we could have gone to the Bible and considered when we were talking about Mother's Day. Just a few of those that crossed my mind, first of all, was Eve. When we think about Eve, she is classified as the mother of us all. And then there was Hannah. Yeah, that was the mother of Samuel who, when the Lord blessed her with the child, she said, I'm giving this child back to the Lord. Yeah, I said that to somebody one time, and they said, what, she didn't want him? I'm like, no, she really wanted him, but she understood that Samuel truly was a gift from the Lord. So she gave him back to the Lord that he might serve the Lord. And then, of course, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and so many things could be said about her, and we often visit her story during the time of Christmas. But today, our choice is Jehochabed, who is the mother of Moses. And we have to understand that she was a mother in a very, very difficult time. In fact, there had been the decree that had gone out that all of the male babies that were under 2 years of age, a essentially were sentenced to death by the king. So in other words, what was happening was, you know, here was Moses. He was 2 years old, and it had to be a pretty scary time. I mean, you know, the government essentially was going around and murdering all these babies as a decree from their leader. But what she did was she acted in faith, and she entered into God's hall of fame that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. That is often called the hall of faith, actually. I call it the hall of fame and the hall of faith because it's mentioning those who took a great step of faith in following what the Lord commanded them to do. Now, if you're not familiar, essentially, with the story of Moses, you know, as he was born, he fell into that age where the male children were being put to death. And man, the Lord led, and his mother listened very, very intently. But she was like, you know, I don't care. I'm not going to, you know, let the authorities take my child. I'm not going to let them kill him. But there was a habit that Pharaoh's daughter actually had, and she would go down to the river at a certain time, and she would bathe. Well, what Jehochebed, Moses' mother, did was she actually fashioned a basket. Now, maybe some throughout life you've heard somebody refer to what they call a Moses basket. The word tells us that she coated it in such a manner. It said that she coated it with pitch, which basically was like a tar-type substance, so that that basket would float. And what she did was she put Moses in that basket. She waited for a time when she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would be down there bathing. And then what she did was she floated that basket with little Moses in it so that it would come down the river where she was bathing. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter noticed the basket. She sent one of her servants to go over and fetch the basket and bring it back. And of course, what they found inside that basket was Moses. Now, I've always said there's something special about relationships between daddies and daughters. I can almost imagine what this conversation was like. Yeah, I'm thinking that here Pharaoh's daughter was, she sees this baby. She takes this baby home to Pharaoh, the one who gave the order that all of the male children under 2 years of age were to be put to death. And she walks in with this basket and she goes, "Hey, Daddy, look what I found down at the river. And oh, by the way, I'm keeping it." Well, you know what? Your daddy didn't lift a hand towards that little under 2 year old child. It was kind of like, well, that's my daughter. You know, she's going to keep this baby. So the bottom line is Moses had the opportunity to be raised in Pharaoh's home. Now, ironically enough, his sister actually said to Pharaoh's daughter, said, "Hey, listen, I know somebody who can be the nurse for this particular child." And of course, the person that she was talking about was Moses' mother, Jehochebed. So not only was Moses kept from death, he was safe because he was in Pharaoh's household, but his mother actually got to raise him. And in doing so, she got to instill in him the finer points of following the Lord and the finer points of the Hebrew people, which became very important a little bit later on. So what she did, Jehochebed, Moses' mother, acted in faith, and she was one who entered God's hall of fame because of that. Now, let's think about how she viewed her son. Now, according to verse 23 of our text, it says that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They saw that he was a proper child, or as some would say, actually, as Exodus chapter 2, verse 2 says, he was a goodly child. Acts chapter 7 refers to him as exceedingly fair. Now, one of the things I want to tell you is that you have to remember that these are reactions of a parent. I mean, you know that they're going to be partial along the way. I mean, think about it. When you're describing your kids, I mean, you describe them with vim, vigor, and vitality, as you should. So these are essentially comments, a goodly child, exceedingly fair. Those were comments that were coming from parents. But she loved him, you know, as he was, and she expected the most out of him. In other words, she saw the potential in this child. Now, I love how I've heard the term potential defined before. Potential has been defined as you just haven't gotten there yet. You know that there's this opportunity, and yet you just haven't quite gotten to the, you know, to the point of all the expectations. But yet they did have expectations of him. So she loved him, but she loved him just as he was, but still she had expected the most and the best for him, okay? Now, a child should be a blessing no matter what, not a bother. You also have to understand something that's very, very critical, that children are a gift from God. If you don't believe that, I want you to go read Psalm 127. Children are a gift from God. They're His heritage. So children should be looked upon in that manner. I've seen times when there are people who just, yeah, their whole thing is that the children seem to be more of a bother to them than anything else. And that's a complete wrong view of children. So what else do we see about Jehochabed? She was the person who risked her life for her son's life. And that is something if I were to ask that question, I would say, would you be willing to give up your life for your son? Most mothers would say absolutely 100% for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, that they would be more than willing to give up their life for the life of their children. And I think that is true. I believe that each and every mother or parent who says that means that with all their heart and 100%. So she dared to violate the law to save her son. Remember what the law was. The law was the fact that these children that were 2 years of age and under were going to be put to death. Now, I want to make a point right here, okay? Because she broke the law. People have come to me before and they said, well, should I break the law? And the answer to that question is no, you should not break the law. But I also want you to know that there is a time to break the law. Now, let me give it to you in the scriptural form, because that's the best form to give it to you. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says that we ought to obey God rather than man. So the question is, when it comes down to whether or not you're going to break a law, you have to ask this question: am I breaking God's law or am I breaking man's law? And when man's law and God's law conflict with one another, then the law that you should follow is God's law as opposed to man's law. Now, for the most part, most of the time, those are not things that are conflicting with God's law. You know, when you look at those things, the Lord says, yes, those that are put in authority are put in authority over you for a reason. And we are subjected to the authority that's over us. That is only in the case, or in all the cases, with the exception of when man's law is in violation of God's law. Okay, so we want to make sure that that's very, very clear as we look at God's word today. So, yeah, as we think about that, think about the example of some apostles and other heroes of the faith. You know, I still remember in the New Testament where it talks about, you know, some of the apostles and, you know, they were preaching the gospel message, and what happened was they found themselves beaten and arrested because they were preaching the gospel. And of course, the political officials said, look, okay, I'll tell you what, we're not going to do anything to you. We've already given you so many lashes, we're going to send you out, but don't you dare go preach in God's name again. Don't you dare do that. There's a classic example of the difference between man's law and God's law. And of course, I love what particularly two of the apostles actually said when faced with that particular dilemma. They said, you know, is it right for us to obey you, or is it right for us to obey God? And they said, we cannot help but tell about the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard, which that should be our case as well. So basically what they said is, you can whip us, you can do whatever, but we're not going to stop talking about God. Obviously, the Lord doesn't want us to stop talking about Him, even if government officials tell us that that's what we should do. So there's one of those times when you better follow God's law as opposed to man's law. Now, one of the great things about Jehochabed was that she was not afraid, and I love that. Man, I'll tell you one thing. It's like that old expression, you know, when you start to mess with mama's cubs, you're going to see the claws come out, as it were. So Jehochabed was not afraid, you know, and her son learned from her one very critical quality, and that quality was courage. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is being able to do what you're called to do, even in the face of fear. Let me carry you down to verse 27 of our text and notice what it says. Verse 27 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So even there in that particular text, it tells us that Moses was not afraid. His mother was not afraid. She did what she needed to do to make sure that he was preserved and well taken care of, because she knew that God had plans for him as well. So that's one of the great, great things that she did for him, was that she risked her life. Remember what I said a moment ago? I said, if I were to ask any mother out there today, would you be willing to give up your life for your child's life? I believe that 100% of you would say, yes, I am willing to give up my life that my son or my daughter may continue to go forward living. That's a kind of love that a lot of people, and I don't want to say a lot of people, but there's people that just can't understand that, you know, that they would give up their own life for somebody else's. But there was something else that Jehochabed did for Moses as well. It's listed in verse 24 of our text today. And that is that she imparted faith to her son. Look with me at verse 24. Verse 24 tells us this. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's very, very interesting. Why would he refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Because he realized that he was a Hebrew. He was one of God's people. And he realized that he was not an Egyptian like Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. And he learned that because that is the type of faith that had been imparted to him by his mother as she was raising him. You know, she raised him to fear God. She raised him to know God. And all that was done pretty much behind the scenes, because you got to remember, she was actually Moses' nurse. And of course, you know how royalty does things. It was like, okay, well, it's feeding time for the boy. Nurse, here you go. Take him. So she had a lot of time to be able to spend with him. I guess some people said, or have asked me in the past, they said, well, what would that be comparable to? And I said, well, it's comparable today to what we kind of look at or stereotype as a nanny. So his mom basically was his nanny. So it meant she spent more time with him probably than Pharaoh's daughter. And in doing so, she instilled in him the character qualities of what it would be like to follow God, what it would be like for the coming Messiah that would be coming down the road. Now remember, this was back in her day. You know, for you and I, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has already come. But in her day, that hadn't taken place just yet. So she was imparting faith to her son. Faith is now moving from parent to child. Now, folks, I could spend the rest of our time and a lot more on relating the fact that what your children are going to find important are the things that you find important, the things that you put emphasis on. The things that are important to you will become important to your children. And let me tell you something. If your spiritual life isn't important to you enough for your child to see that, then a spiritual life will not be important for your child as they grow older or when you're not a part of their life. And unfortunately, there have been times when I've had people say to me, I just don't understand why my child is not concerned about spiritual things. And my first question was, well, were you concerned about spiritual things during the formative years of their lives? Did you take your children to church? Did you talk about Jesus in the midst of your home? Did they see that there was something special about a walk with the Lord that prompted them to want to do that? And unfortunately, about 100% of the time, the answer has been, well, no, that's not what they saw in me. I was too busy trying to make a living. I was too busy trying to do this or too busy trying to do that. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when the children are young, it is critical that you impart faith to them, that they see you practicing it, because they want to be exactly like you. So if you looked at your child and your child turned out to be just like you, would you be happy in that regard? I don't want to necessarily go that deep in it, but I'll say, if your child's spiritual life was based on your spiritual life, would your child be in trouble? Yeah. Now, I want you to understand something. As long as there's life and breath, it's not too late. So a lot of you might sit back and say, well, my child's grown or my child's in a teenage. It's not too late yet, because you're still a parent. You will always be their parent. And you know what? You can always sit back and say, you know what? I didn't have my priorities in order during the time when you were younger. These are things I should have done. But listen, make that step now. Do not wait. Do not allow it to go forward without you stepping in to intervene. Because folks, let me tell you something. Heaven is an eternal place, but hell is an eternal place as well. And I trust and pray that the priorities, the spiritual priorities of our children are in the right place, because we as parents have been a great example to each and every one of them. I mentioned a moment ago the plan that allowed for Jehochabed, Moses' mother, to become his nurse. If you want the passage that that tells about that, it's Exodus chapter 2, particularly verses 7 through 10. That's where the plan came from, for her to be his nurse even when he was essentially in the house of Pharaoh. So God had a plan. God always has a plan for everything that's going on and for everything that, that takes place. And when she had that time, that nanny time, as I call it with him, she would teach him about his people, the Hebrew people. And she would teach him about her Lord, which became his Lord. Okay, her teaching would make him a man of faith. And man, what a great, great legacy that is, particularly when you think about children. When your children become you know, spheres of influence in regard to the faith, what a great, great legacy to leave. You see, in other words, as we read in this text, he would choose to serve God and to help his people rather than to take the easy road out. In fact, that scripture tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that I mean, he was in the greatest position to be able to have money and fame and everything else. I mean, essentially, he was the quote-unquote grandson of the Pharaoh. And yet, because of what he had learned, because what his mother had taught him, and because of what God was doing in his life, he chose not to take that route. You know, he said, I would rather be with my people. Now, we know that as Moses got older, and particularly when it came down to the end of his time in Pharaoh's household, as he was still functioning and moving, he saw an Egyptian and a Pharaoh, an Egyptian and a Hebrew that were arguing. And what happened was, not only were they arguing, they started to fight. Well, Moses went over there to break up the fight, but what he did was he actually defended the Hebrew, and in doing so, he killed the Egyptian. Well, of course, he didn't want anybody to know about that, so he hid the body. And then just a little while later, there was another argument between an Egyptian and a Hebrew. Moses goes to intervene, and the Egyptian says, well, what are you going to do? You're going to do to me the same thing that you did to that other guy? You're going to kill me too? And at this particular point, Moses knows, hey, the gig is up. Somebody knows about the fact that I killed that man. And at that point was when he fled. He fled Egypt, and he went to essentially be a shepherd tending sheep that we see he had done that for several years. And then the Lord showed up and called him essentially to go back and face down Pharaoh with the message, let my people go. So I'm trying to give you bits and pieces. You know, long story stretches out over a lot of chapters and a lot of generations. But the bottom line was simply this, that his mother taught him to be the spiritual giant that he was. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the fact that it was God who spoke to him. It was God who empowered him. But he did so with courage, and he did so without fear of Pharaoh when he stood his ground, simply because his mother took that time to be able to instill in him the greatest qualities that any parent can instill in any of their children, and that is to be godly parents, okay? So the bottom line was that Moses, in and of himself, would choose to serve God and to help his own people rather than to enjoy the spoils that would come with being the grandson of a Pharaoh. Now, his mother's patient instructions built a faithful son. And I like to use that term. It wasn't something that just happened in a day. It was her faith and her patience and her persistence over time to keep that message before her son, particularly in the troubled times in which they were living. And she did such a good and faithful job that we know what the outcome was when it came down to I call him little old Moses. Yeah, he came a long way from floating in a basket to be the one that would go and stand before Pharaoh, who essentially wanted to kill him, and carry the message, let my people go, thus saith the Lord. So what else did Jehochabed do for her son? Well, she enabled her son to take a good, long look in life. Let me share with you verse 25 of our text that says this. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses saw the temporary nature of sin. And it's been addressed in God's word before that it's even been stated like this. It said, well, sometimes there's pleasure in sin for a season, but yet that you're never going to get away from it. There is always going to be a consequence for that sin. And Moses saw the temporary nature of sin for a season, okay? And so he chose to suffer with God's people rather than to have the silver spoon in his mouth of Pharaoh's people. He understood that suffering is temporary. You know what? Sometimes you and I have a hard, hard time realizing that there's more beyond this life right here. Sometimes we get so caught up on that hamster wheel of this thing called life that we don't take a good, long, hard look at eternity. And folks, I'm telling you that heaven is a very real place, and it's for eternity. Hell is a very real place, and it is for all of eternity. But we don't think on eternity scale. We think on a temporary scale. We think on a life scale. We think about that 70 years that God says in his word that, you know, man's life would be, you know, 70. And so we think that, okay, well, we've passed away. And I'm not saying we don't all think about spiritual things, but we think about it in some sort of another realm. The easiest way for me to say it is this: if you're listening to my voice and if you're hearing this message, you are going to live forever, for all of eternity. The question is, what place will you choose? Now, I said, will you choose, because it is your choice. Right now, if you've been born, you were born with a sin nature, and there is only one thing that will change your eternal destination from hell to heaven, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, because he paid the price for our sins. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus. We have been purchased with a price. Now, the question is, have you given your life over to him? If not, here's the plain, simple, hardcore, bottom line truth. You will spend eternity in hell. And you know, sometimes we sing the spiritual song, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now, think about that for a minute. You can't fathom 10,000 years in your mind. You can't imagine living 10,000 years. And then think about it this way. If you've lived 10,000 years, you've no less days to sing God's praise than when you first begun. All you do when you finish the first 10,000 is start a second 10,000. And that's hard for us to wrap our mind around. But the bottom line is that same 10,000 years that we would spend, you know, glorifying in heaven and being in the place where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more tears, that same place, that same eternity is true of hell, the place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and forever and forever, where the suffering just goes on and on and on, and it goes on for an eternity as well. I trust and pray that you have chosen wisely in this particular day and age. And I pray that you have chosen to accept and to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. If not, stop what you're doing right at this very moment and just simply cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, save my soul and help me to live for you. I will make you a promise that if you met that prayer as you prayed that, you have begun, key word, begun that relationship with him. And I'm just going to ask you, listen, if you've trusted Christ, please contact us. Our website is on this broadcast, or you can find us at www.oakridgecbc.org. Send me an email. Give me a telephone call. We would love to help give you some material to start your following of the Lord, that you might be a disciple of his. Like I said, accepting Christ is just the beginning. That'll get you into heaven, but that's just the beginning. He wants you to become like him. And yet, Moses knew all these things, and yet he chose to suffer with God's people. You see, he understood that suffering that he would be going through is temporary when it comes to the thousands upon thousands upon thousands, you know, and continuing on for the years that he'll spend with peace with the Lord when he would come into that place called heaven. See, he came to believe that eternal riches are in the Lord. Notice what he said in verse 26. Let me carry you to our text, verse 26. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. In other words, he said, the riches in Egypt, you know, I'm in Pharaoh's house. I've got all the money I could ever want. I have anything that I ever want because I'm the grandson of the Pharaoh. But you know what? None of that amounts to a hill of beans when it comes to the Lord. He is far greater than all of the materialistic riches that could ever come into place. And he believed that. Why? Because his mother instilled that within him. So he came to believe that eternal riches are in the Lord, not in the substance that's around us. And he learned to walk by faith, trusting God in these difficult times. And folks, that sometimes is very difficult for us to do, to walk by faith and not by sight. Remember what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to think about the mothers for just a moment. I want you to think, maybe you are a mother, maybe your mother is still around and God's blessed you in that regard. But there's a reward for mothers. See, Moses was chosen by God to be the one who would go to Pharaoh for the deliverance of his people. You know, all of her efforts to train him in faith were rewarded when he was chosen as the one that God would use to go and deliver his people. So you know what, if I had a big sign up and that said needed, and it's kind of interesting that you look on a lot of sites and you look on social media and oftentimes you'll see an article or an ad that says needed, and then it'll have a colon or a line underneath it and it'll list what's needed. Well, there's something needed today, and what is needed are mothers who train their children to trust in the Lord. Now, dads, that doesn't let you off the hook. Remember, June's just around the corner and Father's Day's coming up. But we need mothers who are going to train their children to trust in the Lord. You know, there's an invitation, you know, to mothers to dedicate themselves to this particular task. If you are a mother, God has blessed you. He has blessed you indeed. He has given you an extremely valuable gift in that child. And he is inviting you today to dedicate yourself to the task of raising your child in a godly manner that reflects on who God is, okay? Yeah, salvation invitations are to those, all those mothers who have been faithful, you know. Think about it for a minute. Think about when you've had that opportunity to be a faithful mother and you get to see your child serving the Lord and being used in his hand. Now listen, that's tough. That doesn't mean it's an easy job. It's an easy task. That means that oftentimes they're going to be under heavy scrutiny. Now how do I know that? Because the Lord's word tells us that. And sometimes it breaks your heart, but boy, what a joy it is to see that God chose your child to be his hands, to be his feet, and to be his voice, whether it's on a mission trip, whether it's in everyday life. You get to see that. That's not just a temporary thing, because it's not something that somebody acts upon. It is something that somebody becomes. So moms, you have a great task, the task of helping to raise those children and to nurture them in the fear, meaning respect, nurture them in the respect and the fear of the Lord. Are you doing that today? Listen, if you failed in that regard, it's not too late. As long as God has given you life and breath, then the thing about it is there's still a chance for you to go back and make some corrections, even if it's to say, look, you know, kids, I'm sorry that I didn't do this back then, but it is critical today. Take that step. Will you do that today? Listen, for those of us who still have our moms here, make sure that Sunday's not the only day that you call them and not the only day that you will send them flowers. If you are a born-again believer and a Christ follower, then you need to thank your mother for being an influence in your life. I want to encourage you to do that, but not just on Mother's Day. I want to encourage you to do that more often. If there's a broken relationship, I want to encourage you to rebuild that relationship with them. Start off by saying, hey, look, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. And don't sit back and let the devil tell you, well, you have all the right to have broken fellowship with your... No, you don't. God, that's not something that God wants. He doesn't want that broken. Swallow that pride and touch base with your mom, okay? Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm going to pray for you to be able to do just that, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be studying this week. This week, we're actually going to be studying Genesis chapter 35. That's Genesis chapter 35, first book in the Bible, first Old Testament book, Genesis chapter 35. Next week, we're going to discuss back to Bethel from Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 3. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you right now, we want to thank you again for the fact that Lord, many of us had the joy and the privilege of being raised in a godly family, or Lord, we had a godly mother whose spiritual walk has spoken volumes to us. Lord, I just pray for those families. Sometimes, Lord, there are children who are walking wayward, that are away from you. Lord, I just pray that the conviction would truly be upon their heart. And Lord, I pray that you will truly give peace to the moms out there who are struggling, with the spiritual walk of their children. Lord, the moms that are struggling with the physical ailments that they may be experiencing or that their children may be experiencing. Lord, I pray that they will truly look on motherhood as a gift from God according to your word. And Lord, I also pray that you'll help them to realize that it's not too late to begin being what you want them to be. So Lord, right now, I pray that you would speak to the heart of each and every mother who is a listener today, that you would draw them close, that you would encourage them, and Lord, that you would give them instruction that not only they, but their children would become everything that you would have for them to be. So Lord, I pray that you give us a great week as we honor our moms. Lord, I pray you'll give us a great week as we go into the highways and the hedges, and may we represent you well, as Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for taking that time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I do want to give you a personal invitation that if you are in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love for you to come worship with us in spirit and in truth. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, if you happen to know where that is. And I just want to encourage you today, listen, do something special for mom, whether it's a phone call, whether it's some flowers, whether you take her out to eat this Sunday or whatever, spend some time with her. I will make you a promise. You will never regret it, and that will be something that she will love. And that will be one of the most special days in her life, just to have her babies home with her. So be sure to do that this week as we celebrate Mother's Day on Sunday. And you know what? You can come celebrate that with us. Our services begin at 10:45. There are other discipleship opportunities throughout the week, but we look forward to seeing you there. God bless you. Have a great day.